In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. I bring you greetings from your neighbors at St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Glassboro. Last week, I was preaching at St. John's in Salem, and what with the detours, it was nearly a 60-mile round trip to get there. This morning, I thought about riding my bicycle, like our page turner over here. I'm thrilled to be here with you this morning, and even more thrilled that Mother Susan is filling the pulpit and the presider's chair at this moment at St. Thomas in Glassboro. Susan and I, along with several other local priests, meet together most weeks for Bible study and prayer. This has become an important rhythm in my life, something that empowers me and encourages me for ministry in this place. Now, often when I meet with our little community and I hear Susan's understandings of Holy Scripture, I say to myself, St. Thomas needs to hear Mother Susan. We each bring our own strengths, our own understandings, our own perspectives on Scripture. And so I believe that St. Thomas will be better off for having heard the particular ways in which the Holy Spirit chooses to speak through Mother Susan this morning. My prayer is that that same Spirit will, by the grace of God, empower me to utter some word that might be profitable to you. So, who here really enjoys getting involved in a good fight? Right? Just loves a knockdown, drag out, the more heated the better. Anyone? Yeah, me neither. Conflict is not my thing. There were many reasons why I agreed to serve as an Episcopal priest, but fights were not one of them. But one of the things that I learned in my formation as a priest was that sometimes a soothing word, right, sometimes a comforting murmur is not the most loving thing to do. Because that soothing word can be a way of distancing myself from someone, of making it clear that I don't want to hear your problems. Instead, if I see someone struggling with something, often the most loving thing to do, the most connecting thing to do, is to step right into that fire, to acknowledge openly that person's experience of some change that is troubling to them, and to engage it directly. My purpose in doing so is not to cause someone to fixate on something negative in their life, but instead it is to create a safe space in which that burden can be shared, where their experience of fiery change can be brought into perspective. I learned this one day when I was serving as a chaplain at a hospital, and I was meeting with a woman who had just come out of surgery just a few hours earlier. Now, she was telling me about what a great life she had, how proud she was of her children and her grandchildren. And as I heard these words, what I saw in her face were tears pooling around her eyes. Now, part of me didn't want to embarrass her, right? Just go with what she's saying and, you know, she's in charge. But the other part of me saw the incongruity and decided to step into it and ask, why are you saying all these great things and yet your face is telling me you're very sad? That was the moment when she chose to open up to me and tell me about her new cancer diagnosis, about how little time left she had to enjoy those good things in life. That was the beginning of the real conversation, the reason I believe God had brought me into that room. Now, in our gospel reading today, Jesus, meek and mild, Jesus, the one who has time even for the little children, Jesus, the forgiver of sinners, Jesus, the good shepherd, Jesus says some startling things. He says, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. Fire upon the earth, in my book, is not a pleasant image. It's not the stuff of comforting bedtime stories. It is instead an example of Jesus' prophetic speech. Jesus' habit of speaking and acting according to the MO of all the prophets, right? Those men and women that we read about in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, the ones who were listed in part in our second reading this morning from the book of Hebrews. Like the prophets, Jesus was ushering in the kingdom of God into people's lives, and that meant that Jesus was bringing change. The message and the mission of Jesus Christ in your life today is the same as it ever was, and it is a message of change. Now, change is also the issue at hand from our first reading today, from Isaiah. In Isaiah, the prophet compares God's people to a vineyard, protected and coddled, shielded on every side. But that vineyard did not produce good fruit. Instead of justice, they produced bloodshed. Instead of practicing righteousness, they caused the poor to cry out in their distress. And so the prophet promises that God will not let the status quo stand. God is bringing change. Now, from the point of view of that vineyard, from the point of view of God's people, God's response might feel like punishment. It might burn like fire. But from the point of view of the victims, those suffering from injustice and inequity, that prophecy comes as a word of liberation, relief, a soothing balm. When the Allied troops marched into Europe at the end of World War II, the Nazis did not see that as a good thing. But those in the concentration camps, they sure did. Change is threatening. Change is scary, like fire, to those who are invested in the status quo. Change is threatening to those who are comfortable. If you have a pretty home and a reliable car and a good job with good prospects and steady income, you probably don't want anything to change. If you enjoy good health, a happy marriage, successful children, then you'll go to great lengths to stave off any change, won't you? The idea of justice is challenging in a society with lots of inequality, because those of us who have more are often pretty happy with how things are. We have a vested interest in not seeing the problems, in not seeing poverty or racism or hunger, in not seeing discrimination or homophobia or arbitrary cruelty. Because those things call into question our privilege, the comforts and advantages that we enjoy. And so change is threatening only for those of us who have something to lose. So in the time-honored tradition of God's people, we can choose to sit within the walls, afraid to rock the boat, afraid of change, lest we lose what we have, bearing only wild fruit until finally that hedge is torn down from around us. Or we can make another choice. This is why it's so hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Sometimes it is the very grace of God that strips us of some advantage that we have enjoyed, but which was preventing us from surrendering more completely to God's purpose in our life. Our lessons from Scripture today invite us to make a different choice. Jesus invites us to produce good fruit, whatever our life circumstances. We can search and find out what justice means and make the sacrifices it takes to ensure that our lives are consonant with what God is doing in the world. We can name the injustices that we find around us. We can acknowledge the injustices done on our behalf by the governments that we have had a hand in electing. We can name the evils done by the politicians that we voted for, as well as the politicians we voted against. We can speak aloud of the privileges that we enjoy and use them to promote the welfare of others. We can spend our money and our time, our attention and our concern in service to those who lack exactly those resources. And we can do this in our personal relationships too. We can notice the hard places, the calcified places in our relationships, the scars from past battles where feelings have been hurt and there's no longer a healthy, living, loving connection. Now, we could choose to shy away from those places and just try to ignore them, which is a natural tendency for most of us. Or we can choose to walk right into them, right? We can tear off the scabs and say, let's do better. Let's be honest. Let's actually talk. Let's figure this out. That sounds to me like what Jesus did on the cross. Maybe you have a relationship that's overdue for some change, some fresh effort, a fresh expression of grace and openness to the other. Jesus is bringing fire into the world, the fire of change. And we get to decide how we are going to encounter that fire, that change, that challenge to our privilege and comfort. Do we see it as a threat or an invitation? Do we think life will get better by avoiding the fire of change or by embracing it? It was just in the last couple of weeks or so that I missed another opportunity for conversation. Something important wasn't being said, something was being avoided. And that registered with me in the moment, but just at the very back of my mind. And so I kind of brushed it aside, and I didn't really think about it till much later in the day. I failed to ask the hard questions. I failed to invite the possibility of change. I didn't step closer and offer the sacrificial love of Christ. Stepping into that fire is a hard thing to do. It's hard even to notice the opportunity. That's why we continue to show up, to be present to one another, to practice sharing the love of Christ with one another. Because God is calling us to bear good fruit, fruit that will change the world, fruit that will yield a crop of justice and righteousness. There's a fire coming. On which side do you find yourself?